Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, 9th chapter, text number 33. Ahameva samevagre nanyat yat sadasat param paschadaham jadetaccha yovishishyetasosmyaham. Ahame. Session purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Shri Prabhupada ki. Brahma, it is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation, when there was nothing but myself, nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. So we'll read the last part of the purport today. The impersonalist adduces no activity in the Supreme. But in this discussion between Brahma and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord is said to have activities also, as He has His form and quality. The activities of Brahma and other demigods during the maintenance of the creation ought to be understood as the activities of the Lord. The king or the head executive of a state may not be seen in the government offices, for he may be engaged in royal comforts. Yet it should be understood that everything is being done under his direction and everything is at his command. The personality of Godhead is never formless. In the material world, he may not be visible in his personal form to the less intelligent class of men, and therefore he may sometimes be called formless. But actually he is always in his eternal form in his Vaikuntha planets, as well as in other planets of the universes as different incarnations. The example of the sun is very appropriate in this connection. The sun in the night may not be visible to the eyes of men in the darkness, but the sun is visible wherever it has risen. That the sun is not visible to the eyes of the inhabitants of a particular part of the earth does not mean that the sun has no form. So it's a long purport. Probably we may not be able to complete the purport today. We will understand this paragraph and then if time permits, we'll go to the next. And here, Prabhupada says in this particular paragraph, the personality of Godhead is never formless. In the material world, he may not be visible in his personal form to the less intelligent class of men, and therefore he may sometimes be called formless. But actually he is always in his eternal form in his Vaikuntha planets, as well as in other planets of the universes as different incarnations, like different Vishnu forms. So Prabhupada has been dealing with the impersonalist in the last few paragraphs also. The impersonalists have a slogan: those who know do not speak, and those who speak do not know. This is one of their famous slogans. They have many such slogans, is one of them. They say, when there is a pot which is hollow, you tap it outside, it makes a sound. When the pot is full, you tap it outside, there won't be such sound. So they say, those who do not know the truth, they speak a lot and they bluff. So those who have realized the truth as impersonal Brahman, they don't speak anything. But after saying this, they write volumes and volumes of books, which is a display of their ignorance. Why? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati he asked this question to the impersonalist. If you say those who know do not speak, then why are you speaking so much vomit? Why you have written so many volumes, bulky volumes of books? After saying that you don't speak, better you keep your mouth shut so that you don't put people in more ignorance like yourself. So, although they speak very attractive philosophy, which is very mystical, but when it comes to practical application, they are the ones who speak the most. So, the impersonal philosophy has spreaded all over the world because it gives a pat on the back of sense gratifiers. It encourages sense gratification. How you can, you can do whatever you want, because ultimately you are God, I am God, everyone is God. There is no accountability to some supreme God because you are yourself God. So this kind of philosophy has ruined the whole world. That is why when Prabhupada went to the West, he saw, the impersonalism and yoga classes, they were rampant when Prabhupada went to the West. Many big yogis, they had opened institutes and teaching yoga classes, but the philosophy they would inject to people was impersonalism. So most people came to the yoga classes to learn how to do yoga to have a healthy body so that you can enjoy life better. They came for that, most people. And those who are philosophically minded, besides yoga, they wanted to know more about Vedic culture and God. So they were cheated by this impersonalistic philosophy. Prabhupada saw that. Some years ago, one very, very old man, he had come to Kumbh Mela. In Kumbh Mela, you see Swami is completely, practically nude, Naga Babas as we call it. So he was like a Naga Baba, very hale and healthy but completely nude, with long hair, matted hair all over his body. And he saw one of our ISKCON Swamis, and then he stopped him and said, he was American, he had American body, this Naga Baba. But he had become a Naga Baba in India. He had started his own organization in India. He was also impersonalist, Mayavadi. So he stopped ISKCON Sannyasi and he told him, he said, "Are you a disciple of Prabhupada?" He asked him. And the Sannyasi said, "Yes, I am." Then immediately he made him sit and started talking to him. He said, "Do you know your Swamiji Prabhupada? He used to stay in the apartment given by Mishra, Dr. Mishra. So I was a student of Dr. Mishra. I used to go to his yoga classes." And he said, "Your Swami Prabhupada used to come there also. And this Mishra would never allow him to give classes, because he knew very well that this is a Vaishnava. He will defeat my philosophy. So once or twice, by mistake, Mishra allowed him to speak. And Prabhupada took the mic and smashed the impersonalistic philosophy to dust. Then Mishra became afraid. If I let this fellow speak, he will close down my institute. So he told Prabhupada that, you are allowed to come to my class, but you should sit in the last bench and keep quiet. You can come and watch my students. And then I will give you a chance for doing kirtan." And then Prabhupada would do kirtan at the end, take the kartas. "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." Mishra liked it very much. Mishra enjoyed this kirtan. He said, "I have never seen such a tone." He would speak very flowerful words, flowery words, glorifying Prabhupada's kirtan. So he said, "Swamiji, this is liked by my students also very much. So you come, but you should silently sit. Only thing you can do is kirtan, that's all. And I will speak. All nonsense. So he would speak philosophy and Prabhupada would be sitting, you can imagine, sitting behind and tolerating because it was not his own institute. He couldn't do anything. So this man said, you know, when I was attending his classes, this Prabhupada Swami would be sitting in the last bench along with me by my side. But he was very kind to me. He was very merciful to me. So Prabhupada once called this man, you know, tapped him on the hand and said, the man turned to him. So you come to these classes? Yes. He said, yes, Swamiji, I come here regularly. You know this Mishra who is giving the lecture now? Prabhupada said, yes, yes, Swamiji, what do you want to say about him? And Prabhupada said, he is my very good friend. But I have to tell you the truth. He speaks all nonsense. So this man remembered it very well. Prabhupada told me long ago. Later on, this man came to India and he opened some Mayavad Institute. And he invited Prabhupada to come and speak. He had such a good friendship with Prabhupada. He came to know that Prabhupada has just returned to India. He called Prabhupada and Prabhupada went and gave a lecture to more than 800,000 followers of that man. So, Prabhupada, when it comes to defeating the philosophy of the Mayavadis and impersonalists, Prabhupada was very heavy and very strong. Openly, outrightly, Prabhupada challenged them and defeated them. Even when Patel in Juhu would be talking to Prabhupada, he would say, Prabhupada, you are very harsh in talking about impersonalists. Prabhupada would say, yes, I am harsh, I have to be hard to defeat all this nonsense philosophy which has spoiled all the whole world, Prabhupada would say. But when it came to personal dealings, with Mishra, Prabhupada was a very good friend of his. You know, once Prabhupada and Mishra were going in the car and there were some disciples also sitting behind. So they were very peacefully talking and suddenly Mishra said something and Prabhupada started arguing and there was a heated argument in the car. Then all the disciples were watching also behind, Mishra's disciples. And again they would calm down and they would be laughing. So Prabhupada would not compromise on arguing about philosophy. But once when Mishra felt sick, he had a high fever, and Prabhupada personally cooked khichdi for him. He put all his devotion, and then he served him many days in a row. And Mishra very fondly remembered it for a long time to come. He always would tell people, the Swamiji loved me so much, despite not liking my philosophy. He still served me khichdi. He loved it. So Prabhupada was trying to preach as politely as possible. But what we understand is, this man, he liked Prabhupada so much that he invited him to the Mayavad Institute to give a lecture on Krishna. Can you imagine? This is a real life example. So Prabhupada was hard like a thunderbolt and soft like a rose, even in dealing with such kind of people. Because Prabhupada used to say, that the impersonalists have got into a wrong track. They have got into the word jugglery. Because of the word jugglery, they think they don't know anything. In fact, the shastras have karma kand, jnana kand, and all these different kind of kandas. This jnana kand or the impersonalistic philosophy is there in the scriptures. Why? In order to bewilder those who are atheistic. Basically, they are atheists. But they want something that looks like God consciousness to claim that we are also religious. But actually, impersonalism is nothing but atheism. You will see as we talk today. You will see that. You see, apart from the smritis, like the Puranas, and itihasas, which the Mayavadis often reject. They say that we don't believe in Puranas and itihasas. But you can take the Shrutis, Upanishads, and you can quote innumerable evidences from the Shrutis to show that there is one supreme absolute truth, Lord, and there are also subordinate living, plural subordinate living beings, infinite of them. నిత్యో నిత్యానాం చేతనశ్చేతనానాం ఏకో బహునాం యో విదదాతి కామాన్. సీ దిస్ మంత్ర ఇస్ ఫ్రమ్ ఉపనిషద్స్ ఓన్లీ. ఇట్ సేస్ ద లార్డ్ ఇస్ ఎటర్నల్, ద లివింగ్ బీయింగ్స్ ఆర్ ఎటర్నల్. లార్డ్ ఇస్ కాగ్నిసెంట్, ద లివింగ్ బీయింగ్స్ ఆర్ కాగ్నిసెంట్. ద లార్డ్ అండ్ దర్ ఇస్ వన్ లార్డ్ అండ్ దర్ ఆర్ ఇన్ఫినైట్ లివింగ్ బీయింగ్స్. Like that it says. Now, how do the Mayavadis explain this kind of verses? You may have a question, isn't it? How can they explain it when they take this kind of verses? So, they have a two-tier system of explanation. Of course, they have three-tier. The lowest one is Pratibhashika, then Vyavaharika. So, they have two, three platforms. Pratibhashika platform is a platform in which you see the world and everything. And Vyavaharic truth is that we all are jivas and the absolute truth is Lord. We have to attain moksha and we have to attain the Lord. This is on a Vyavaharika platform. But the ultimate truth is ultimately everything is one. You are God, I am God, everyone is God. That is ultimate truth. So as soon as they see a verse like this, immediately they will say, this is for Vyavaharika understanding. They will say. When he talks about the oneness of God, oneness of the living entity with God, they will say this is the ultimate platform. They will say like that. So in this way they switch from the second tier to third tier, on and off, whenever they want, conveniently attack from this side or attack from that side. Like that. Now we have to ask a question, where do the Upanishads say that this is Vyavaharika understanding? Where do they say? See, whenever you make a statement, there has to be a condition, a particular condition put there. They don't say that in a Vyavaharika condition this verse applies. They don't say like that. But they suitably, conveniently attach it to the Vyavaharika. Why? Because they are afraid of this kind of truths. Eko Bahunam type of truths. Because Eko Bahunam means Lord is one and we are eternal. Part and parcels of God. In the same manner, the Shrutis also explain about the different stages of realization of the absolute truth. You will read in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Kshetra and Kshetrajna are explained. Many Mayavadis would say the Kshetrajna means the living being or God or the spirit soul. It's the same. They will say that there is only one living being, which is called Kshetrajna. And the body is called the field of action, called Kshetra, in which the living entity is sitting. But then Lord Krishna says there to Arjuna, in the beginning you will see in the 13th chapter, Idam shariram kaunteya kshetram yityabhidhiyate kshetra. Idam shariram kaunteya kshetram yityabhidhiyate evam yo veti tam praguhu kshetrajnam iti tadvidaha. He is telling, this body is called the field, Arjuna. And one who is the knower of the field is called as Kshetrajna. That is you, that is me, that is all of us. We all are there present in our body. And then the next verse he says, Kshetrajnam cha api mambiddi. He says, I am also called a Kshetrajna, Arjuna. The word cha is so important, that one word. If cha was not there, you would not be able to defeat Mayavadis. Kshetrajnam cha api mam viddhi, he says, I am also a Kshetrajna, Arjuna. Sarva kshetre shubharata, I am there in all the bodies as Kshetrajna. So if that word cha was not there, Mayavadis would say, see, we told you this Kshetrajna is in all the bodies and that is you, that is me, that is all of us. But the word cha means, I am also a Kshetrajna. See, for example, if any of you is living in a single room, will you say that I am also living in the single room? Will you say? When will you say also? One more boy is living with you, isn't it? Then you will say one boy is living and I am also living. Like the Krishna says, Kshetrajna is there for every Kshetra. Kshetrajnam cha abhimam viddhi. He says, I am also a Kshetrajna in that body. So in this way, I am an aware of all the bodies. Recently after the Mayapur Yatra was over, that very same week, I think Mayapur Yatra got over on Tuesday or Wednesday, I think. That Sunday I had gone to Bombay. You know, as well as Radhanaswami was giving a lecture in Bombay. morning lecture, he was telling something very interesting. He said, there are 4,000 people standing in front of Radha Madhav. 4,000 to 5,000 people. You know, they are all raising their arms and singing and dancing and everything. He said, there are some small children, you know, singing in shrieking voice. And there are old men and women, they are singing in broken voice. There are some young people singing. Some are sweet singers, some are not so sweet singers. Some are aligning with the swara. Some people's voice is going elsewhere, in another direction. And he said, some people are raising arms, some are not. Some are dancing, some are not dancing. So he said, from a distance, when you hear that sound, it is like one voice only. If you are walking in the garden of Mayapur temple, the morning time, Mangalati time, you will hear Hare Krishna tune going on. It will appear like one voice. But then when you come closer to the temple hall, you will see all these people. They are different voices. Different people are singing and all are merged together in one voice. And then he said, in the heart of every living being, there is super soul who is standing and watching. And how many paragraphs of Samsara Dhavanala did this fellow sing? Sometimes he sings one paragraph, and next paragraph he keeps quiet. And then he may sing two, three more lines. Again he may keep quiet. So the super soul is attentively watching. And also he said, some people are moving the lips as if they are singing. Actually they don't want to waste the energy in singing. So they just move the lips like that, he said. That also super soul is watching. And he said, some people are doing dancing, like athletic dancing, so that the food eaten the previous night will be digested. So he said the super soul knows, are you dancing to digest the food, are you dancing out of transcendental ecstasy, are you dancing out of a sense of duty, or are you present there in the Mangalarti because attendance will be taken or something? Why you are present there? The super soul is aware. The super soul knows the intensity of sound, volume of sound with which you sing, what you sang, what you didn't sing, and what is your consciousness, what is your motivation, what is your attitude. Everything is observed by super soul, he was telling. And every individual voice is heard by him, because sarva kshetreshu bharata. Unlike we, from a distance we may hear like one voice. You're all merged. That's why he says sarva kshetreshu bharata. I am present in all the bodies, you are present only in your body. What is going on in everyone's mind is known only to super soul. Or the individual soul. Others cannot know. So, in the 13th chapter, also in one of the verses, purports Prabhupada explains, the Supreme Lord is so kind because the living entity in bodily consciousness is so much absorbed in ignorance. He has given him 5 koshas, 5 platforms of consciousness for him to climb up one after another to come to the ultimate stage. So, these are also explained in Shrutis. It is explained, the lowermost stage of consciousness or the realization of living being is Annamaya. Annamaya means he sees the whole world to be full of food only. He thinks anything living, anything is non-living, as long as it is eatable, he will take it and put it in his mouth. Just like you see a small child, everything he puts in the mouth. You've seen that? Small babies. It's Annamaya stage. Annamaya means they want to keep eating something. And there are also people, grown-up people, adults who are not children. You know, anything that flies, anything that moves, anything that crawls, they'll pick up and eat it. There are people who make snake noodles and cockroach roast and everything. Yeah. People eat all kinds of things. Some people go to a distant hotel for eating kidney of some animal. You know, roasted, yeah. Hot dogs, hamburger. All dirty things. Because it's Annamaya stage. Eat anything and everything. Eating is the only goal of life. The ultimate goal of life is eating. One time, Prabhupada, in those days, you will read this pastime in Servant of the Servant. That's a beautiful pastime. One time in one of the temples, Prabhupada told them to cook a big feast on a Sunday. In those days, Prabhupada would not come down on Sunday feast. You would be seeing from the top, first floor, he'd be watching how the kirtan is going on and how people are eating feast. He'd be watching from the top. So one day Prabhupada was watching from the top. Lot of crowd of people had come. So devotees had come together and they cooked a big feast. But they were attracted to the feast so much that before serving to the guests, they only finished it. Devotees only. They ate it all. Because they'd be waiting for the Sunday. They ate all of it. And their stomachs were bloating practically. And they were all lying like mountain snakes. And then Prabhupada came to that room. And he saw, devotees could not even get up, some of them. Hey, Prabhupada has come, they were saying to each other. And then Prabhupada looked at them, started, and then he went back. And then he told Tamalaksha Maharaj, they ate to die, he said. You know, there is a phrase called as eat to live. Eat to live. Should we eat to live or live to eat? Doubtful, I think, is it? Eat to live. So Prabhupada didn't say they ate to live or they lived to eat. He said they ate to die because they have eaten so much that they can't get up also. So this is called annamaya. Annamaya means madness for eating more and more beyond one's capability. Higher than that consciousness is pranamaya. Pranamaya, kosh, is a stage where one begins to understand that I am a living thing. Other objects are also living. Like, you know, you try to catch something to eat and that runs away. That time you understand that other objects are living. I will have to struggle to get my food. Just like a tiger struggles to get the deer. Or a snake struggles to get the frog. Like that. Then one understands me and my belly. Me and my satisfaction. And the whole world is my enemy. That is pranamaya. Pranamaya stage means one considers everyone in this world to be a competitor. We belong to this caste. They belong to that caste. We have to fight. You know, I belong to this state and he belongs to another state. Then there is fight. We belong to this country. They belong to another country. Then you fight. And I am a human and that's animal. No. Kill it and eat it. You know, there is an insecurity in the heart of a pranamaya stage person. Insecurity for survival. Oh, you know, the whole world is my enemy. How am I going to compete and struggle and climb up the ladder of success? There is a fear that I may be finished. And there is also an aggressive vigor that I want to compete and exploit everyone else around and be a supreme controller. Both these tendencies are there. Violence, this is called fight or flight, we say. Fight or flight. Fight with competitive mentality and flight means having fear of insecurity. This is pranamaya stage. And this characteristic is very much seen in the modern days. People competing in the competitive exams to get some post or position. People are giving so much of bribe to join some post. Lakhs of rupees are being given, people give. And might is right. Whoever has the political power, financial power, so they are able to win the positions. So this is actually pranamaya stage, where one thinks I and the whole world. I against the whole world. That is pranamaya stage. And I also may slowly start including my family, my relatives, my jati wale. One may include all those people. And then third stage, one goes to, it's called manomaya or jnanamaya. So here, one understands the thinking, feeling and willing. Ramanujacharya explains this. He says, this should be based on Shastra, he says. If it is not based on Shastra, we cannot accept a person to be in the Manomaya or Jnanamaya stage. In Jnanamaya stage, based on Shastra, one understands that one develops perceptions about the world and one offers response to those perceptions. Then one understands that this is morality. That is not morality. You know, I should not kill cows. You know, we should not abort children. You know, we should not loot others' property. You know, So one begins to think, one becomes a humanitarian. And one also may do some social welfare activities and things like that. One becomes more just. So in the Manomaya stage, one is able to think, feel and will. Then one becomes a bit more subtle than the Pranamaya stage. Pranamaya stage, one doesn't care about anyone. One thinks of only oneself. Whereas in Manomaya stage, one becomes more mature. One considers the world around. And based on the scriptures, one tries to become an ideal human being. See, till now there is no talk about the soul, till now. It's all on a material platform. I have seen social welfare workers amongst my friends, some of them, day and night they used to work hard, considering themselves to be an Indian, Mera Bharat Mahan. And they would be working for the poor and working for the country. They identify very much with the country. And they would spend practically 16 hours a day working hard. So they may consider something to be right based on their own material perceptions. And they may offer responses. This is Manomaya stage, where one can think, feel and will. And higher than that, the fourth stage is called as Vijnanamaya. In Vijnanamaya, for the first time one begins to understand, Aham Brahmasmi. Actually, we used to do this meditation, sit in one place, close the eyes and Aham Brahmasmi, Aham Brahmasmi. Repeat this hundreds of times to tell yourself that I am not this body. I am not this gross or subtle body. I am different from the mind. I am different from the intelligence, different from the false ego, and different from the body also, material body also. I am the soul. So, at least one begins to understand that I am actually the living spirit who is animating this dead material body. Body is just a vehicle. That is the first stage when one begins to understand, Vijnanamaya stage. Actually, it's not a very easy understanding for them. Just like you go to your ocean, you take a bottle of water and bring it to your laboratory, and then you only analyze the water. You don't endeavor to research the ocean, but by researching the water, you can also understand the ocean. The chemical constituents and everything will be the same in the sample. So, we all are tiny part and parcels of Krishna, God. So, in the Vijnanamaya stage, one doesn't think of God at all. God is not in the picture at all. Who is in the picture? We ourselves. Atma. Atma is the object of study. The whole focus is on understanding the Atma Tattva. If you see, there are many, many Puranas and Upanishads and talking about how you are not the body. The Vedanta, for example, you will see hundreds of pages devoted to understanding how you are not the body, you are the spirit soul. You see, one disciple, he goes to a Gurukula and he returns back to his father. And the father is asking, my dear child, what did you learn in the Gurukul? And the child is saying many, many things that he learned. Father is not satisfied with that. He feels that the vital knowledge he has not learnt. So he is telling him, bring me a seed of a big tree. So he brings a seed. He tells the boy to break it. He breaks it. What did you find inside the seed? He says, I didn't find anything. You break it further. He broke it further. What did you see now? The boy said, I don't see anything. And the father says, that which you did not see now is the soul. Because without the presence of that soul, this seed would not germinate and grow into another big tree. Because even a scientist can imitate and make a plastic seed. But what is the difference between this mango seed and that mango seed? The plastic seed cannot, it doesn't have the potency to grow, which is there in a seed from a tree. So you cannot see the Atma, but its Atma is present, he tells him. Similarly, he asked the boy, go and get a pinch of salt. He brought it. He said, put it in the water and you stir it. Then he stirred it. Now what do you see? The boy said, I see water. And the father said, what else do you see? I don't see anything else. And then he gives him a spoon of water. Drink it. He drinks it. Now what did you understand? Oh, father, it is salty. He said, yes, that salty nature is there in the water because of the presence of the invisible salt. The soul is also invisible like that. You cannot see the soul with eyes, but Without his presence, the body will not be animated. The body cannot function. So the father, sage, Uddalaka, he is trying to explain to his son how the Atma is present in this body. They would devote quite a bit of time to understand the Atma. How the Atma is different from the body. And how we have to see the Atma present in all the living beings. Then our attitude towards them will change also by knowing that they are not just some inanimate dead stone. Everyone is a living body. Everyone is the Atma Tattva is present in every body. So the Vijnanamaya stage means knowing it, understanding it, and realizing it. The Atma Tattva. That is the Vijnanamaya stage. So if somebody perfects in the Vijnanamaya stage, what can they achieve? They can at the most achieve the Brahma Jyoti. If they achieve also, they will attain the Sat and the Chit future. They will understand that the soul is eternal. It never perishes. That is one thing they can understand. Chit means knowledge. What is that knowledge? Knowledge beyond duality of the world. Beyond Sukha Dukkha. Beyond Man Apaman. Shita Ushna. So they can realize that knowledge in the Brahma Jyoti, which is beyond the dualities of the world, relativities of the world. That is called as full knowledge for them. Because Atma exists beyond the duality. See, their only goal for jnanis is to go beyond the duality. Like for example, jnani means they will say, you should never become angry. You should never, become emotionally affected by anything. You have to become like a stone. When you realize Brahma Jyoti, you become calm, cool, composed. Maintaining that stability, that is their ultimate goal for the jnani. No sukha, no dukkha. In order to avoid all the dukkhas of this world, the miseries of the world, what they do? They avoid the pleasures also. All the pleasures. They forego all the pleasures. So that pleasures and pains are like two sides of the same coin. If you throw away the pleasures, the pain also goes away along with it. And they can go to Brahma Jyoti. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. That is the goal. And there is absolutely no other understanding of God beyond this. So they not only talk about the soul, they talk one important thing about zero diversity. There is no diversity anywhere. What is the meaning of diversity? You see, we are living in a world of variety. For example, we have trees, we have plants, we have animals, we have birds, we have human beings. We have different creatures and different colors, different forms, different tastes. This is called as diversity. So what they understand in the Vijnanamaya stage, they say that all this diversity has come because we have become trapped by the three modes of material nature and we are suffering in this world. And as long as this variety will be there, we will have to suffer. They say, for example, this material body is a source of all suffering. Like we all have so many diseases in this body. Is it not true? So they say that we have to get rid of this material body. Even the Buddhism also says the same thing. Buddha also said, desire is the root cause of all evil. And he said, we have to dismantle this material body. Once you dismantle it completely. See, dismantle is not just committing suicide. Even if we commit suicide, as long as desire is there, again the body will come. We will accept one more body. We have to do two things. We have to dismantle this body and stop all the desires. Become desireless. If you can do these two things, then you will attain nirvana, according to Buddha, Buddhism. In the same manner, impersonalists also, they want to go beyond the variety. So, in fact, one of their slogans is, down with the name and down with the form. They recite it actually as everyday prayer, the morning, down with the name and down with the form. No name and no form and no variety. They want to make all these things zero. This is one of their goals. So that they can understand that beyond all this variety and suffering and everything, we can exist as the pure soul which is beyond dualities of this world. And we can become Shanti, Shanti we can attain. But the Shastra say the ultimate realization is not Vijnanamaya. Beyond Vijnanamaya there is Anandamaya, which is the fifth stage. When can you get Ananda? For ananda, you need two people. No? Love means there has to be two people. Love cannot be reciprocated without the presence of two people. So in the anandamaya stage, the living being wakes up to the reality that there is a super soul in my heart who is different from me. And there is God. And there is servant of God. And there is Bhagavan, Bhakta and Bhakti. When one understands these three to be eternal, then one comes to anandamaya stage. That is a complete realization. Annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya and anandamaya. That is bhakti. So I am not talking from Puranas or Itihasas. We are talking from Vedanta. In Vedanta there is a verse, anandamayo abhyasat, which says, anandamaya is a fifth stage. The prerogative of every living being is to come to the platform of anandamaya and not get stuck up in vijnanamaya. When I used to read Mayavadi books, once I read this verse, raso vai saha rasam hi evayam labdvanandi bhavati. So, raso vai saha. The word raso vai saha means, rasa means mellow. Raso vai saha, it says, saha means he. So, it doesn't use the word tat, it says saha. There's a difference. So I used to wonder, what is this? That Supreme Lord is a reservoir of all the mellows. That's the meaning of this. So why? Saha, rasam ki evayam labdu anandi bhavati. So this verse also comes along with that anandamaya abhyasat. So Vedanta Sutra talks a lot about the impersonal aspect of the absolute truth also. See, Prabhupada says in this purport, one of these places, that sometimes some of the Upanishads say that all the creations of this world, they sprung from the Brahma Jyoti. There are places it says. And in other places you find the Brahma Jyoti is an emanation of the Purushottama, Supreme Lord. That is also in Shruti Mantras. Vedahametam purusham mahantam adityavarnam tamasapparastat tammeva vidvan atimrityumeti nanjappanta vidyate ayanaya tam ishvaranam paramam maheshwaram tam daivatanam paramam cha daivatam patim patinam paramam parastat vidamadevam bhuvaneshwamidyam yasmat param na paramasti kinchit yasman naniyo no jo yosti kinchit prakshayi vastav dodivideish tatyekastenedam purnam purushena sarvam. See, these are quoted in Upanishads. Prabhupada has taken them and quoted in Bhagavad Gita here and there. You will read that. So, you know what is the meaning of these verses? It says, Vedaham etam. Veda means I know. Vedaham etam purusham, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, whenever you meet any Mayavadi, these verses should be quoted. Because they accept Shruti. And you should ask them, what is this Purusha? Is Purusha an impersonal entity? Purusha means, Purusha is a person. Vedahametam Purusham Mahantam. Mahantam means the Supreme Purusha. Aditya Varanam, his body is glowing like sunlight. The glowing effulgence comes from his body. Aditya Varanam Tamasaparastat means he is existing beyond the darkness of this material world. Tam eva vidvan, by knowing him only, atimrityumeti, one can transcend death. Na anya pantha, there is no other way. Yes. Vidyate ayanaya, I do not know any other way by which you can go back home, back to Godhead, without knowing that Purusha, the Supreme Purusha. There is no other way, he says. All other doors are closed. That's the only way. Only when you know him, you can go back to him. And who is that fellow? Who is that person? Tam Ishwaranam Paramam Maheshwaram. Amongst all the Ishwaras, he is the Supreme Ishwara. Tam Daivatanam Paramam Cha Daivatam. Amongst all Devatas, Devanam Achyutoyata. It says, you know, Nimnaganam Yata Ganga, Devanam Achyutoyata, Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, Purananam Idam Tata. So amongst all the Devatas, he is the Supreme Devata. ఇష్టం దైవతానాం పరమం చ దైవతం పతిం పతీనాం ఈజ్ ద మాస్టర్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ మాస్టర్స్ పరమం పరస్తాత్ అండ్ హీ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ బియాండ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ అండ్ దెన్ విదామదేవం భువనేశ్వం ఈద్యం హీఈస్ ద మాస్టర్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ దోస్ హూ ఆర్ అడ్మినిస్ట్రేటర్స్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ అండ్ దెన్ హీ సేస్ యస్మాత్ పరం నా పరం అస్తి కించిత్ యస్మాత్ బియాండ్ హిమ్ దర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ ఇట్ సేస్ యస్మాత్ పరం నా అపరం అస్తి కించిత్ కించిత్ మీన్స్ దర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ మత్త పరతరం న్యాన్యత్ కృష్ణ సేస్ సేమ్ థింగ్ ఇన్ భగవద్గీత బియాండ్ హిమ్ దర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ అండ్ యస్మాన్ నాణియో నో జో దర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ స్మాలర్ దాన్ హిమ్ దర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ బిగర్ దాన్ హిమ్ అణియో రణియాన్ మహతో మహియాన్ See, the smallest unit of matter we know of is atom. He is smaller than the atom also. He is existing inside the atom also. And it says, Vriksha Yiva Stabdo. He is standing like a tree in the spiritual world, but a banyan tree is spreading all the roots in all directions. Is it not true? Long distance. In the same manner, he is situated in spiritual world, but his energies are spreading everywhere. Iccha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti, everything is spreading. And he is also expanding as Mahavishnu, Garbhadaksha, Vishnukshuradaksha, Vishnu into the universes. And, you know, Durga Devi, Brahma, he has sent all these personalities to get all his activities done. Vrikshayi vastabdo divitishtati ekas. Like there is another verse in Shruti also, one more verse which says, Eka desha sthitasyagner jyotsna vistaraniyata. You keep a lamp in a dark room, it spreads light in the entire room. Like that he is in spiritual world, but he spreads his energies everywhere. And he gets all the work done from others. And he is coolly playing on his flute and enjoying spiritual world. So, I always, when I used to read Mayavadi books before, I used to get stunned when I would read this type of verses. Purusha, Purusha. So later on, I was wondering, who is this Purusha? That the Vedas are talking about Purushottama. So, later on when I came to the ISKCON classes, Devamrita Prabhu, I met him. One of the very first meetings, he convinced that the absolute truth is not impersonal. Absolute truth is a person. I asked him, I also said, I am reading about this Purushottama. Is that Purushottama Vishnu? Or is it Ram? Or is it Krishna? Or is it Shiva? Or who is that? Then he took Bhagavad Gita, 15th chapter, Purushottama Yoga. And there he showed some 3-4 series of verses, beautiful verses. In that Krishna says, I can repeat a couple of these verses. Dvavimau purushau loke ksharaschaksharayevacha ksharah sarvani bhutani కూటస్థోక్షర ఉచ్యతే సేయింగ్ ద్వావిమౌ పురుషౌ లోకే దర్ టూ టైప్స్ ఆఫ్ లివింగ్ బీయింగ్స్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ అర్జున వన్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ క్షర వన్ ఇస్ కాల్డ్ అక్షర క్షర మీన్స్ ఫాలబుల్ సోల్స్ దోస్ అగైన్ అండ్ అగైన్ ఆర్ బాండ్ మిలియన్స్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్స్ అక్షర మీన్స్ దోస్ ఆర్ నాట్ ఫాలన్ దే హ్యావ్ కూటస్థ మీన్స్ వన్నెస్ దే హ్యావ్ బికమ్ వన్ విత్ ద సుప్రీం Is it merging into God? Somebody may say, okay, that means all the liberated souls merge into God and become one. We may think like that. They have attained oneness with God. But what is the meaning? Next verse he says, Uttama purushastu anyaha paramatmeti udahritaha yo lokatrayamavishya Bibarti avyaya ishwaraha. So immediately he says that Uttama Purusha is different from these two people. He says, Uttama Purusha is to anya hai. Uttama Purusha aur dusra anya vyakti hai. Aur uska naam kya hai? Paramatme iti udahrita hai. Is called as Paramatma. He's saying. And who is that Paramatma? Yolokatrayam avishya. He actually is present in every atom, in every heart of every living being. Lokatrayam avishya. By entering into, permeating into all this world, Bibharti, he maintains all living beings. Avyaya Ishwara, he is the imperishable Lord. Super soul, he is saying. And then he says, Yasmat Kshramati Toham Aksharadapi Chottamaha Atosmi Loke Vedecha Pratita Purushottamaha. See, I am celebrated amongst all the people of this world, and also I am celebrated amongst all the Vedas as Purushottama, he says. How, why, what is the reason? He is saying in this verse, what is he saying? Yasma charam atitoham, I am beyond all the fallible souls. And aksharadapi cha uttamaha, that is one line that completely shook me, that shook my old impersonal foundation. What was that? Aksharadapi cha uttamaha, I am also beyond the liberated souls. Because I used to think that as long as you are Akshara, you are fallible. And when you become Akshara, you become God. But Krishna is saying, I am beyond the conditioned and liberated souls. I exist on a platform beyond both. Akshara adapicha uttama. That is why I am called as a Purushottama. And then Devan Prabhu said, the Purushottama you asked about is here. This is the person. Who is it? Krishna. So it's like a mathematical proof. So that Purushottama is Krishna. Of course you can also call him as Vishnu or Narayana or Ram. When Krishna manifests as those personalities in a different mood, different rasa. But as we know, after you study about Ram, Vishnu and Krishna thoroughly when from the scriptures, you will understand that the complete understanding of Purushottama is Krishna only. Full-blown manifestation is called as Tadekatma Roop, Swayam Roop, it's called as Swayam Roop. So, whenever we come across impersonalists, two things we learned today. One is you have to quote verse after verse from the Shruti Mantras about Purushottama. And they will not be able to speak anything, they will become mum. And it's very important to quote from the Upanishads for them, because oftentimes they dismiss the Puranas as mythological, although they are not. Itihasa means history. And by quoting Puranas, you will make them more offensive. Because they will offend the Puranic. Say, Prabhupada, I was about to read one purport line of Prabhupada. See what Prabhupada is saying here in 7.24 purport. Prabhupada is saying, although, here is saying, as stated in the 23rd verse, Deva and Deva Yajo Yanti, Madbhakta Yanti Mamapi, the worshippers of the demigods go to different planets of the demigods, and those who are devotees of Lord Krishna go to the Krishna Loka planet. Krishna is saying that, right? What is that verse? Yanti Deva Vrata Devan, Pitran Yanti Pitru Vrataha, Bhutani Yanti Bhutejya, Yanti Madhya Jino Pimam. So, who goes where? Krishna says, after death. And then he says, Prabhupada saying, although this is clearly stated, the foolish impersonalists still maintain that the Lord is formless and that these forms are impositions. From the study of the Bhagavad Gita, does it appear that the demigods and their abodes are impersonal? Clearly, neither the demigods nor Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are impersonal. They are all persons. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he has his own planet and the demigods have theirs. This was another line I was very appreciative when I read. You see, what the Mayavadis impersonalists do generally, in the Bhagavad Gita, they will take only certain chapters and elaborate them. You will see. Like for example, they will take, second chapter is the most important chapter for Mayavadis. Because it talks about the soul. They may take second chapter for the whole year also. At the various places, seminars they will take. Now, you can ask them, if you are accepting second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, you have to also accept 7th and 9th chapter, where Krishna is talking about demigods. So you can write on their face, you can ask them, do you believe demigods exist? You know, do you believe that Krishna exists? Demigods have their planet, Krishna has their planet, Krishna has his planet. That's what Prabhupada is asking. Does it look like mythology? If you say all the Puranas talking about demigods and their activities, or Krishna and Bhagavata Puran, if everyone dismisses them as mythological, then how are they explained in Bhagavad Gita? Because Bhagavad Gita is the quintessence of all the Upanishads and Puranas and Vedas. In Bhagavad Gita, you will find that's why it's called Sarva Upanishado Gavo, Dogda Gopal Nandana. All the Upanishads, it's like the milk of a cow. All the Vedas and Upanishads are compared to a cow. Bhagavata talks everything. From Purana also it talks. Then Gita Upanishad is acceptable by all, by impersonalists, by personalists, by everyone. So how are you going to explain these points where Krishna is talking about Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, Punaravartin Orjana, he is talking about Brahma Loka. And he also is talking about going to heavenly planets, correct? Gata Gatam Kama Kama Alabante. He is talking. So, is heaven and hell true or not? Is the presence of demigods true or not? Is the presence of Krishna as superior to all of the demigods mentioned in the scriptures? Is it true or not? If you say you don't believe in them, you are an atheist. You are not a theist in the very first place. Because Bhagavad Gita says these things, you can't dismiss that truth and accept only the soul, only the knowledge of the soul. So this goes to show how they do Ardha Kukuta Nyay. They accept one part of the truth which they like. They keep talking about the soul and Atma So Paramatma. You know this? You see, Prabhupada says in the 12th chapter, first three verses you will read. From time immemorial, the impersonalists have been making baseless arguments. Always saying that, Atma So Paramatma. And the personalists have been painstakingly trying to explain to them by showing the truth. And the impersonalist doesn't want to see the truth. Why? They are like a owl in the daytime. Owl cannot see in the daytime. Why? The sun is shining in the sky. Owl will close the eyes and say, where is the sun? I cannot see it. He cannot see. But when is the owl very active? Night is very wide awake. Now you say, where is the sun? Show me now. Now you will ask. Just like, taking second chapter of Bhagavata, you will say, where are the demigods? Show me in the second. Even in second chapter, you can say, Yami Mam Pushpitam Vacham Pravadint. Even there, it talks about going to heaven. So, Prabhupada says, these owl-like impersonalists, we have to use a machine to lift their eyelids too, so that they can see the sun. One lecture, Prabhupada saying that. So, we oftentimes find, just like the owl doesn't like the day, it only likes the night. And Prabhupada says, in the night, everything is one, he says. Isn't it? Imagine if the room is pitch dark. You can't see Prabhupada, you can't see me, I cannot see all of you. Everything is pitch dark. So everything is one, only in darkness. But now you switch on the lights, you can see there are so many people, so many variety. Everyone has a unique face. Everyone has unique qualities, unique characteristics. So there is unity in diversity. And Mayavad means what? Destroy the diversity and make everything one. And Buddhism is one step further, make everything zero. Prabhupada says, one boy had an eye problem, some disease, cataract in the eye. His one uncle told him, just pluck out the eyes, he'll be all right. The father said, you rascal, what are you saying? Pluck out the eyes? If you remove the eyes, what will happen, my son? He will cry even more. Another uncle came. The father asked, what to do with this boy? He is crying. He said, you kill him. You will not hear the crying sound. So this is Buddhism and impersonalism. Buddhism says, impersonalism says, pluck out the eyes. Buddhism says, kill him. Finished. You kill the living entity. Make everything zero. And impersonalism says, you kill the senses of the living entity. Destroy the variety. But what Vaishnava philosophy says, unity and diversity. Yes, there is diversity in spiritual world also. Why the impersonalists are afraid of the diversity? Because they think that, in this world people are of different nature and different chemistries, and interacting with them causes so much interpersonal clashes and quarrels and misunderstandings, stress and strain and everything. Let us get shanti, shanti, shanti. That's what they want. You ask even a husband and wife when they are quarreling, sometimes they feel, let us take divorce. Divorce is not the ultimate platform of happiness. Or sometimes they may not take divorce. If they are a civilized family, they may think, okay, you live in that room, I will live in this room. Let us have shanti. There is so much of quarrel every day. Yes, it may be peaceful to live separately for some time. But is it the real platform? What is the real platform? Real platform is love. You see, a teacher may sometimes scold a student and say, you kneel down. Keep quiet, kneel down. Is kneeling down the real platform? No. Because the boy is doing mischievous activities in the class. So teacher says, kneel down. So when you all have experience, any of you kneeling down outside the class? Kneel down, right? Yeah. Okay, your teacher is sending you out, go on outside and kneel down. So what are you supposed to do? You are supposed to become remorseful. Teacher, I'm very sorry, I will not be mischievous in the class. Come back to the class and engage in activity again. Participate in the class. But Mayavadis are like, what type of student? He's kneeling down outside, suddenly he gets up and runs away. Because he doesn't want to serve. He says, I will run out of the school, I will have my own fun separately. So, see, Lord has sent all living beings here so that they can get reformed. And these guys want to go from this world to impersonal Brahma Jyoti so that they don't have to enter Vaikuntha and serve the Lord. So neither will I serve you in Vaikuntha, nor will I accept the punishment in the material world. I will go to a metastable state, somewhere in the Brahma Jyoti, where I can be independent, where I can be Shanti Shanti. So one boy was asking a question. Prabhuji, you say Krishna has given freedom. I don't think Krishna has given freedom, he said. You see, in the spiritual world also, I have to serve him. In the material world, when I don't want to serve him, he sends me to material world and beats me with Maya, you know. Which is Maya beats and sends you back to spiritual world only. Then again, there also you have to serve Krishna only. What kind of freedom is that? You know? So he was asking. Then I told him, no, Krishna has actually given you freedom. You know where? In Brahma Jyoti. You go to Brahma Jyoti, you are neither in the material world nor in the spiritual world, but you are in a place worse than material world. Why? At least material world will offer you suffering, reminding you of your relationship with Krishna. Because Vaishnavas are there, suffering is there. Good combination. Because when suffering, some can go to Vaishnavas and they will send you back to Godhead. But in impersonal Brahma Jyoti, you think you are happy. Vimukta maninaha. Vimukta maninaha means they think, ye anye aravindaksha vimukta maninas tvayasta bhavat abhishuddha buddhayah aruhya krichrena padam param padam tataha patantyado anadrita yushmadangrayah. One who has turned away from the lotus eyed personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. Ye anye aravindaksha vimukta maninaha. Vimukta maninaha. Jo log mante hain ki main mukta ho gaya hoon. Those who think I am already liberated. Tvayasta bhavad avishuddha buddhayah. They have avishuddha buddhi. Impure intelligence, he says. They have impure intelligence. That is not pure intelligence. So they go to Brahma Jyoti. What they do there? They have no seva to the Supreme Lord. They are just stuck up there like a star suspended in the sky. They remain there for a very long period of time. It is called a spiritual suicide. Just like you can commit suicide with the body, you know, no mother, father will be happy to see a son committing suicide, trying to eradicate his existence. Similarly, when the soul goes to Brahma Jyoti, he remains there for millions and millions and millions of years without any seva opportunity. And he cannot see the beautiful face of the Lord. He cannot offer any services. He cannot associate with other living beings. He is in sat and chit. He knows I am eternal and he is in knowledge. He is beyond the material world. He remains there. But that is not a permanent position. Patantiyado anadrita yushmadangare, he says. From there we will fall back into this material world. Why we fall back? Because the soul is active by nature. Like in those days, in our school days, we used to have this sack race. You know sack race? You put yourself inside a sack and you walk. And there are boys who will go so fast in sack race and they get a prize, first prize. So inside a sack, if you can be so active, then outside the sack, how much more you will be active. Right now, all of us are outside the sack. How we can be active with this body? But inside a sack, we may be less active. Similarly, the soul, when it is put inside this material body, which is like a sack, so our activity is little reduced. But when the soul gets liberated, he becomes extremely dynamic and very, very active. And going to Brahma Jyoti, one cannot be active because there is no activity there. So then how can he be active there? Arugya kachrena parampatam tataha patanti adu. Again, Prabhupada says like a skylab falling back. You know, skylab fell back some years ago, maybe 10-15 years ago. A skylab went up, but then it lost all the fuel, everything, it was falling back. And the scientists were announcing, skylab is falling, it may fall on your roof of your house. Please take care. And people didn't know how to take care. Because in whose house it's going to fall, nobody knew. You know? At last, with great difficulty, scientists diverted the skylab into the ocean. It fell in the ocean. Similarly, a jnani goes to Brahma Jyoti, and now he is out of the sack of the material body. And he wants to be dynamic, but there is no activity there. Then he comes back to this world like a rocket falling down. And then he gets another material body to do social welfare activities and all that. He just wastes his valuable time. So one can't be permanently situated in the Brahma Jyoti. Although it may be a very long period, one may be situated there. So, although Krishna may give us freedom to be in the material world or in Brahma Jyoti, the real platform is to be in the spiritual world with Krishna. So, we were discussing how we have to quote a lot of Shastric verses for the Mayavadis because they always go by word jugglery. In fact, they think Bhaktas are foolish. They think Bhaktas are sentimental. And they think they are more advanced. So, that's the reason Arjuna asked the question to Krishna in the 12th chapter. Who is superior? Are your Bhakta superior or the Jnani superior? Krishna categorically without any compromise told, my Bhaktas are best. He says, you can read 12.123 verses. Krishna says that. You will see that. But this Jnani is breaking their head and twisting their brains. They study a lot of Vedanta and many Upanishads and they go on speculating lifelong. And after many lifetimes, Bahunam Janmanamante Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate, he says. They come to Krishna after a very long time. So, Prabhupada has given such a long purport because Prabhupada knows if any Mayavadi gets the Bhagavatam, first he will go to this verse. That is why Prabhupada has given long purport here. He knows. Any impersonalist, because this verse is a very famous verse. Aham eva asam eva agre. I alone existed in the dawn of creation. And I alone will continue to exist after the creation is over. Everything is resting in me. The Lord is saying. So the Mayavadi say that this I is we only. This is you, this is me. This is all of us. So it is owing to the envy of the living entity that he wants to claim himself to be God. So as long as we have this envy, how does Mayavad apply to our lives? That's very important to know. You may say we are all Vaishnavas, we are not like those rascal Mayavadis, we may say. But we also, as devotees, in our lives also Mayavad can penetrate. You know how? Making Guru into God is Mayavad. Or minimizing Guru is also Mayavad. Both are Mayavad. There is one famous organization these days. They have made their Guru into God. They have made the Guru only into Narayana. Although it's a Vaishnava Sampradaya. But they are worshipping their Guru as good as Narayana. They have made the deity of their Guru so huge that all the other gods like Lakshmi Narayan, Sitaram, they are all in the side in the very small deities, but the Guru's deity is so huge. So making Guru into God is actually Mayavad philosophy. And then ultimately saying that Guru is God and I am also God. I am one with Him. And another side of Mayavad is minimizing the Guru. Why a disciple may minimize the Guru when a disciple thinks that I have come to the Guru's level now. I am equal to Guru. In Vaishnava philosophy, you can never become equal to Guru. Guru will always be our superior, eternally. And we will always remain a fool in front of the Guru. Just like Lord Chaitanya told about his realization that when he was speaking to Prakashanand Saraswati, he said, you know, I was chanting this Maha Mantra. I went to my Guru and told him, Kiba Mantra Dila. He said, what mantra have you given me, my dear Guru? By chanting this mantra, you know, I am getting tears in my eyes. My hair is standing on end. My whole body is trembling. What kind of mantra have you given that it has agitated my mind so much and I am crying Krishna, Krishna all the time? And my Guru told me, Guru patted on my back and said, my dear child, you have achieved the goal of life. And you go on chanting Krishna's names like this. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So there Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is presenting himself as a fool in front of his guru. Yeah, this is the standard of a disciple. No? A disciple will always remain a fool in front of the guru. And Prabhupada said, I was defeated by my guru when I presented my arguments. And I was happy to be defeated, he said. So Prabhupada once was in Los Angeles. He saw in one of the rooms, his picture was kept upside down. And Prabhupada was very angry. He saw this is inattentiveness, Prabhupada said. One Mataji was sweeping the floor. So she took the picture and kept it upside down, forgetfully. And then Prabhupada also observed devotees who have printed the book, they had put Prabhupada's name, just Prabhupada they had put. They didn't put Founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. They didn't put properly. And they gave the Bhagavatam. As soon as Prabhupada got the Bhagavatam, he opened it. The whole binding fell apart and all the pages flew hither and thither. So Prabhupada said, this carelessness in serving the Guru and minimizing the Guru is a sign of Mayavad. Prabhupada said, Mayavad has entered these people. Because they are thinking that they have become equal to the Guru. Or they have become better than the Guru. And also, on another time, three sannyasis declared to everyone that Prabhupada is God. Because some Mayavadis were also in the marketplace. Our devotees went to distribute Back to Godhead magazines. And the Mayavadis told them, hey, you don't know your Guru Prabhupada is actually Krishna, is God. Because without being God, he cannot do such great things. He has become liberated soul. So liberated souls are God. It's God. So those three people came back and started telling other devotees, actually no, till now we have not respected Prabhupada sufficiently. He is actually God. He is not different from God and all that. And Prabhupada came to know while he was in Japan. Then Prabhupada gave a declaration. Remove these three people. Send them out of ISKCON. And Prabhupada said, these three sannyasis have become bogus. They have associated with Mayavadis. So they are speaking Mayavad. They are making Guru into God. So Prabhupada said, send them out for preaching to some unknown place. Let them preach. And if they remain as proper Vaishnavas, then only we will accept them back. Prabhupada said. So both extremes are Mayavad. So one should respect the Guru like we respect Krishna. But know that Guru is a confidential servitor of Krishna. Associate of Krishna. And one should always think Guru to be far superior than oneself, and Guru in a position to enlighten us and elevate us. One should never think, now that I have spent so many years in Krishna consciousness, you know, I am speaking, I am writing, I am doing this, I am giving saptah, I have become a very great soul. I should never think that now because of my realization, everything, I have become a great soul. Considering, that is again Mayavada. Considering oneself equal to Guru. So, Mayavada can enter our system. Another way Mayavada can enter our system is envy for devotees. And envy for Krishna. That is also Mayavada. Envying devotees is actually envying Krishna only, in another form. And because you know, Krishna only has given special skills and abilities to different devotees. If you envy them, we are actually envying Krishna who has given them that ability. So, you will see Krishna telling Arjuna, Idam tute guhyatamam pravakshyami anasuyave jnanam vijnana sahitam yajnatva mokshasheya shubhat. He is telling, my dear Arjuna, you are free from envy. That is why I am able to declare all the truths about me to you. He is saying. You see, even Krishna feels humble and shy to tell about himself. Which means that no living entity should brag about himself. If Krishna is feeling shy, how much more we should feel shy? Isn't it? See, Krishna is the Lord, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But even he would not declare about himself to anyone, especially in the presence of envious people. But when there are very close associates and devotees, sometimes Krishna may open up about himself. Like for example, a boy, you know, to his own mother and father, he will not be shy to tell them his accomplishments. He may go and tell them that I am going to present a paper in Germany. I have published a paper in an international newsletter. And I got the first prize in sports. I became a champion in my school. Will any child be shy to go and tell the parents? They will be all the more happy because he knows my parents will be happy. Similarly, Krishna also, while talking to devotees in an intimate circle, he tells about himself. But otherwise, in front of those who are envious, he wouldn't speak at all. So he's telling Arjuna, my dear Arjuna, I am telling you about me very confidential things because when I speak about my glories, you will not feel envious of me. Yeah, that is why he's telling. Sometimes a spiritual master may tell his glories to his intimate circle of disciples because they will not feel envious of him. Rather, his telling them will increase their love for him. That's why he may tell. But otherwise, he is not speaking out of pride. He is speaking out of a desire to increase the loving reciprocation with his disciples. Like that Krishna also does. So, Arjuna was completely non-envious. We should learn from Arjuna how to be non-envious. How to be non-envious of Krishna, how to be non-envious of devotees. These are all Mayava tendencies, you know, impersonal tendencies. Actually, disrespectfulness towards others is also an impersonal tendency. Because how this disrespect comes, it arises from not accepting the diversity. See, Vaishnava philosophy means we know that every devotee is unique. And everyone has a unique skills and abilities, capabilities Krishna has given. Every devotee. What is preaching? Preaching means helping every living entity to express his love for his or her love for Krishna. Facilitate that. That is preaching. We have to facilitate every... See, every living being has love in their heart. So, we have to facilitate it to blossom and be offered to Krishna. So, we have to... And when we do that, then the living entity also becomes pleased. And Krishna also becomes pleased. Then there will be reciprocation between them. And in order to do that, we should appreciate this unity in diversity. We have to know that every living entity is unique. Somebody likes to do, you know, altar decoration on the festival day. On festival day, they will become very active, you will see. Some devotees. That is their... It is more than a feast for them, decorating the altar very attractively. And there are Kirtan Mandali parties which will get ready on special occasions. They will be ecstatic. Now let us do 24 hours Kirtan. Let us do. They want to serve Krishna in that way. Somebody wants to serve Krishna by dressing the deity. Somebody wants to preach philosophy on behalf of Krishna. And everyone is differently talented. Somebody likes to cook for Krishna. Somebody may say, hey, you are cooking for last 4 hours. So much waste of time. Somebody may think. But he says, is it waste of time? He is jolly. He says, this is life. This is real life. You guys are wasting your time sitting with the books. It's boring philosophy. All the time. He will say like that. You see, everyone doing a certain service. See, Matajis are doing garland sometimes 6 hours a day. You know, they will be delighting in doing their service. Because it's going to be offered to Kunja Bihari, Gaurnetai, Prabhupada. So they think this is real Krishna consciousness. This is the way we want to express our love for Krishna. So there is diversity and diversity of tastes, diversity of interests and diversity of capabilities. So this is Vaishnava philosophy. To deny that, now if you say that everyone in the temple should become a youth preacher now, imagine, that is actually destroying diversity. You catch a pujari from the backside and take him. Now go to the college, Prabhu. Go and give a youth program. You know, Prabhuji, I don't know English. No, if you don't know English, speak in Hindi. You have to be a youth preacher now. You know, destroying diversity. So, why I am telling you this so frankly? Because sometimes devotees think Radhesham likes youth preachers very much. So, even those who are not supposed to be youth preachers want to become youth preachers. You know, so that they can earn my love. You know. But actually, you will see that that is also unique. What service Prabhupada liked the most? Is there any doubt, little bit doubt you have? I think a little doubts you have. Book distribution. And in fact, in book distribution seminar, Naveen Nirada Prabhu, towards the end, he showed some quotes, breathtaking quotes. They say, Prabhupada says, service means book distribution. Very heavy statements, Prabhupada says. He says, if you want to know which service I love the most, it is book distribution. Prabhupada clearly has said in letters. So, it is true, Prabhupada wanted book distribution, but everyone, because we are diverse living entities, we cannot fit in any particular role. So, we can assist book distribution in our own way. Somebody is cooking in the kitchen and assisting book distribution. Somebody is taking care of deities and assisting book distribution in that way. So, everyone cannot be fitted into one role. It is not possible. So, unity and diversity. That is Vaishnava philosophy. Destroying diversity is Mayavad philosophy. There is diversity amongst living beings. And we have to see our style of thinking and our style of acting and operation, whether there is a leaning towards Mayavad. So, we have to, by studying Prabhupada's books, we understand the personality of Godhead so nicely. Krishna, Krishna's nature, Krishna's sweetness, and how in the explanations of Prabhupada you will read, in the spiritual world, even bumblebees who are humming, even the humming bumblebees, they are not ordinary souls. They are Paramahamsa Vaishnavas. And they all come together and they are humming together, singing bumblebee sankirtan. They are also singing very beautifully. So, in fact, in the spiritual world, the flowers, they blossom with exactly the color which Krishna wants to see that morning. And the flowers blossom. And the flowers give out a fragrance that exactly Krishna wants to smell. And all the cows, every one of them have a name. Krishna calls them Shukla, Kalia. Like that he calls them by their name. Different cows, he has millions of cows and every one of them have their name. Everyone has a particular different type of form. See, everyone has a different face cut. There are no two faces alike. Different type of face cuts. So this is variety in the spiritual world. Mayavadis have no knowledge of the variety and they are afraid of variety. Because they think this is a world of variety and it's causing suffering. After going there also again variety, they are afraid. Because even I used to think like that before. Before coming to ISKCON, I used to think, because this is a world of variety in three modes of material nature, let there be a world where if I go, I can peacefully sleep, take rest. No more quarrel with anyone, and no more interaction, you peacefully, shanti, 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 you can. That's what impersonalists want. They do not know that the spiritual world is a beautiful world where all living entities are non-envious, they are pure, and their interactions don't cause any interpersonal problems. There are no quarrels or fights in the spiritual world. It's a beautiful world. The interaction increases our love for each other and love for Krishna also. So we should read Prabhupada's books very carefully so that we can defend the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta philosophy very nicely, especially for purports like this. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, thank you very much.